This is VPR News. Yesterday, we heard about a British car dealer who, months before state regulators began their investigation, pieced together suspicions about Jay Peake's immigrant-funded EB-5 developments. In part two of this story, Hillary Niles explains how this investor's involvement in the unfolding fraud case affected his life and how state officials responded once he raised red flags.
Tony Sutton is one of 35 immigrants who put $500,000 into Jay Peake back in 2009. The investment eventually earned them U.S. residency through the federal EB-5 visa program, and it originally made them partial owners of the resort's Tram House Lodge. It even came with 2 weeks free vacation, but Sutton says his work at a car dealership in Florida kept him and his family too busy to ever take that perk. Then, in 2014, everything changed. Sutton still hasn't visited Vermont, but suddenly it was Jay Peake that commanded his schedule.
There'd be nights where I'd leave work at 8 o'clock at night, and I'd still be working until 1, 2 in the morning on Jay Peake.
See, January 2014 is when Sutton and the other Tram House investors learned that Jay Peake owner Ariel Quiros and resort president Bill Stenger had converted their equity to debt the year before. Instead of partial ownership in a hotel, the investors were left holding an unsecured IOU, a promise to pay back their five-year-old investments, but not for another 10 years.
In real terms, our $500,000, 15 years later, would have probably been worth a third.
Sutton ended up the ringleader for a group of about 20 investors who banded together in the wake of this news. They went to Vermont state officials for help and were told to deal directly with Jay Peake. Quiros and Stenger couldn't be reached for comment for this story, but Sutton says Stenger just stonewalled. Still, the more obstacles he encountered, the more determined Sutton became. In late 2014, he finally pieced together Jay Peake's own bank statements, which appeared to show unauthorized transactions. Vermont's Commissioner of Financial Regulation has said Sutton's work helped launch the state's official investigation in 2015. But Sutton says the effort took a toll.
In honesty, I think that the Jay Peake scenario made it impossible for me to really carry on giving the right amount of attention to my job because the Jay Peake thing literally took over my life.
Sutton is still working, but now back in London. He and the other investors still haven't gotten back most of their money, and now that Jay Peake is under federal receivership, it's unclear if they ever will. But what bothers Sutton most is feeling like state officials just left investors to their own devices.
It's just been a battle. We never expected to have to fight the state and fight Jay Peake. We expected the state to at least take our concerns seriously, and they never did.
That's what it feels like anyway. Sutton sent his detailed concerns to the state to let them know what he'd discovered. Then, as far as he could tell, what happened was nothing. Sutton says he received no response, not an email, not a phone call, from either the state's EB-5 director, Brent Raymond, or from Commerce Secretary Pat Moulton, who oversees the EB-5 office. Moulton declined multiple requests for an interview. She said by email that she thought Brent Raymond had written back to Sutton. Raymond didn't respond to her request for an interview, but public records show that after receiving Sutton's email on a Friday, he began grilling Jay Peake officials the following Monday. But Sutton had no way of knowing.
They started asking Stenger questions at that point. They never responded to me.
Moulton also said by email that, to the best of her knowledge, state financial regulators were, quote, verbally told about Sutton's documents in late 2014. That's not what Michael Pichak recalls, though. He headed up the state's securities enforcement at the time. This summer, he was named Commissioner of Financial Regulation. VPR reached Pichak on his cell phone.
I do remember receiving and reviewing the letter in January, but I don't remember hearing about the letter prior to that.
Regardless, Pichak says that far from doing nothing, his office launched an investigation of Jay Peake within days of receiving Sutton's written concerns in January 2015.
Those questions raised a number of red flags to us and and prompted us to launch the investigation.
Pichak believes his office would have started the investigation even without Sutton's documents, though. For example, state officials had already learned that JPEG owner Ariel Quiros was under investigation by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Financial regulators asked about this at their first meeting with JPEG officials on January 28, 2015. The state was told that the SEC hadn't been in touch with JPEG for months.
The next day, we called the SEC and verified that, and they said they'd been in pretty much constant communication with them. So the fact that that was an untrue statement made us question the veracity of many of the things they said to us. Mr. Sutton's piece of the puzzle certainly helped, but was certainly just a piece of that puzzle.
Still, Tony Sutton believes his information pointed the way.
At the end of the day, we showed them what they should be looking at in November 2014. So, you know, can they, with any justification, look back or try and defend doing nothing, which is what they did?
In fact, a full-fledged investigation did follow, Pichak says. It's just that nobody told Sutton about it.
It's not typical to have sort of ongoing communication with a complainant, particularly in this case, one that has a propensity to speak to the media. Our investigations have to be confidential and private.
The Department of Financial Regulation also looked into later allegations of fraud at JPEG, which just kept coming, Pichak says. Stanger settled with the SEC last week, but other state and federal charges against him and Quiros are still pending. Meanwhile, Sutton and the other investors are contemplating legal action of their own. For VPR News, I'm Hillary Niles.